radio akwa bia si e about 104.6 FM. It's another wonderful Tuesday. Again, your unofficial mayor of in the studio here with you, the commander in chief of the airways right now. And I'm in the studio here with you. It's Radio Kwaba 104.6 again, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand.
The oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn the world, this is what I know.
So your case is different, my case is different. Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM is another wonderful Tuesday again. And Commander-in-Chief, I'm right in the studio here again with a wonderful brother of ours. He says, your case is different, my case is different. No matter what you're going through, your case is different, my case is different. Do not give up, do not lose hope, because your situation will change. Daniel in the and I say, it's going to change for the better.
She dropped me shook, I bet me go.
And while you're listening to us, don't forget today is a census day. So if you have not done, completed your census form, either online or on the paper, please make it a point. It's very important. Make it a point to complete your census information. It's not about your immigration status, but it's about the government want to know who lives here. You know, it's about, that's the information the government need to plan. They want to know. And like we've been saying over and over again on this platform, and also on some of the Ghana Association platforms, that it's very important that we Africans need to be able to mobilize ourselves and ensure that we all have to fill that form. we all have to fill that form and make sure, because we need to know how many Africans are in New Zealand. Because when we go to the government and we tell the government we have got an issues affecting our community, they are going to look at the number. They use the number to plan, to give funding, to give support out there. But if without this information, it's going to be very impossible for the government to help any community group. So Africans, we are calling you. African, we are challenging you. African communities, we are encourage your members to actually make it a point to try and fill the form. If you are struggling, call somebody to help you. Yeah, and saying so, I want to tell you, I've already completed. I did mine last night, and I believe you can do yours now. It's never too late. It's never too late. So we are encouraging the African community, Ghanaians out there, please make it a point, fill that form, and answer the question appropriately. I know there are some people, they've been filling out the form, and they've been saying they are other Africans or whatever, you know, but an African is an African. So please, we want to know how many Africans are in New Zealand. So please, make it a point. This is Radio Kwa 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. Welcome to the studio, Brother Samuel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm saying Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah,
to
we haven't met this year, but thank God we've met again, you know.
Amen.
And God was faithful last year, and I believe that this year he's going to do more. Amen. More is going to come up. More is going to come up. So I'm really blessed to see you, and I know that God is using you all over the place to touch life. And I believe 2018, there's going to be more.
Amen.
So make it a point. Invite a friend. It's another Tuesday again. And Brother Samuel Ekunea is in the studio here. And he's got a word for you, your friend, and your family. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Those watching me on Facebook Live, those watching me on, those listening to me on radio, wherever you may be listening from, thank you very much for tuning today. Thank you very much, Broko Joe. Happy New Year to you as well. your holiday in Ghana was such a we miss you like anything. Glory to God. Myself as well, I just came back from Australia, and it's been a wonderful time with my family down in Tasmania, Australia. We had such a great time, to the glory of God. And this week again, I'm off to Sydney and off to Brisbane and Melbourne this week. So if you're in Australia, you're watching this, catch me in Brisbane on the 10th, on the 9th and 10th of this month, by the grace of God, Friday and Saturday. We'll be live at the Purpose for Impact in this generation event. It will be at 16 Hampshire Street in Brisbane, in Archerfield, Brisbane. Make sure you don't miss it. 6 p.m. is the time, and I think the registration is free. So it's free. Just come, and you'll be blessed. And on the 11th of March, Sunday morning at RCCG Strong Tower Assembly, by the grace of God, I will be there live. 10 a.m. is the time of the service, and we'll be speaking by the grace of God, and God will be doing amazing things. God is at work. The Holy Spirit is working. Make sure you don't miss out on any of this if you are in Australia. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. So today, by the grace of God, I'd like to thank my father in the Lord, Pastor David Adilowo. There is no father like that father. I'm so blessed to have that spiritual father in my life. Someone that really has a vision for you to stretch out to become who you want to be, and gives you the room and the opportunity to be. Thank you very much, Daddy. We are very grateful. Because of the church is why we are here, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. I want to encourage you, if you are here in New Zealand, in Auckland, fellowship with us at number 6C Honan Place, off Rosebank Road in Avondale. On Sunday, 9:15 a.m. is the time, and on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Let's get right into today's message, because I know that God wants to do something great, and I don't want to delay you. Today, we're going to be talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful and amazing time. Every time we have the opportunity to come into your presence. It's an opportunity for something new to be done in our lives. Your word says, behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Let it be that what you are going to share with us today will be a new thing that will spring forth greatness in our lives, that will spring forth joy, spring forth fulfillment, spring forth success, spring forth healing, spring forth breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for this person watching or this person listening right now, wherever they may be listening or watching from. Father, that their lives will never remain the same after today's message. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Somebody, if you're there, shout hallelujah. If you're watching this, let me know where you're watching from. Just leave me a comment. Tell me where you're watching from. If I see it, I promise I would say hello. Amen. So today we're talking about what you have been anointed to do. If you're watching this as well, do me a favor. Share this message right now with somebody. Share it with somebody right now, because I believe it's a life-changing message and their life will never remain the same again. And you could be that instrument that God will use for them just as much as your life is getting blessed. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 is where we're taking the text today. And he says, this is Jesus Christ speaking here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Hey, let me read that scripture again, because this, the revelation of what I'm about to share with you today is in this very scripture that we just read. Luke chapter 4 verse 8. Jesus was the one that stood up in the synagogue here and he collected what we refer to as the Bible. You know, the scroll at that time. He collected the scroll and read Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Read Isaiah chapter 61, actually. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is up on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. If you're watching this, carry your Bible, please. Mark that scripture, because there is something for you in that scripture that will change your life forever. Oh, thank you, Maureen, for watching all the way from Tasmania. And my friend, Opolua Smash, for watching all the way from Texas. God bless you. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to. There is something that the Spirit of God is on you for. Let me repeat that. The Spirit of the Lord is not just on you for decoration. Hello, dear Christian. Hello, they are born again child of God. The Spirit of God is not just on you for decoration. Some people carry the Spirit of God and they don't even know what they are carrying. They don't even know what they carry. Hello, Pamela. Pamela Delacon, God bless you. And some people don't even know what they carry. They don't know that they carry God on their inside. When you carry the Spirit of God, you carry God. That's why nothing can intimidate you. Nothing can hold you back. Nothing should be able to be a chain pulling you back from God's plan and agenda for your life. Are you listening to me? If you're listening, let me hear you say amen. Wherever you are, just type amen. The Spirit of God is on you. Just as Jesus read that scripture, because he actually quoted the Bible. He quoted the book of Isaiah. You too have the same propensity, the same right to quote that same scripture and say, the Spirit of the Lord is on you. And like I said earlier, the Spirit of God is not on you for decoration. And that's why you cannot die ordinary. That's why you cannot live an ordinary life. That's why you cannot be somewhere and people will not know that you are there. It is impossible for the Spirit of God to be upon you and you will be functioning low. It is impossible for the Spirit of God to be on you and you will be functioning at a low capacity. It is impossible for the Spirit of God to be on you and your life will not be preaching the gospel. That means that spirit is lying dormant in you. And I pray for somebody watching this right now. In any way, the spirit of God has been lying dormant in you. May you receive an awakening, a quickening in the name of Jesus. Because the spirit of God is on you. And when the spirit of God is upon a man, he anoints the man. Hiya! Let me say this again. When the spirit of God is on a man, he anoints the man or the woman. That is why when other people are functioning at the level of the ordinary, the person that has the spirit of God will be functioning at the level of the extraordinary. That is why when other people around are functioning at the level of the natural, the person would, let me remove this wristwatch before I spoil it. Because this message is really, really, I want someone to get this message. If you get this message, you will never be short of confidence all your life. If you get this message, your life will never remain the same again. See, when other people are functioning at the level of the natural, because of the spirit of God upon you and his anointing on you, you'll be functioning at the level of the supernatural. You will not be on the same level with other people. That's why the Bible says that when they say there is a casting down, you will be saying there's a lifting up. When other people were afraid, let me give you an example in the Bible. David. The Bible talked about a man Goliath. The Bible says he was a giant, massive giant, and he was walking up and down, parading the war front for 40 days, terrorizing the children of Israel, just parading, calling them names, abusing them, even abusing God, doing all kind of things. Because the people that he was abusing, they were people that do not know what they carry. And let me repeat that. They were people who had no idea what they carry. But as soon as David got to the scene, as soon as David stepped into that, in fact, he was not there to fight. Maybe you are in a particular country and everything is intimidating your life. Immigration is intimidating your life. Finances is intimidating your life. Everything is intimidating you, like Goliath was intimidating the children of Israel. It is because you don't know what you carry. The day you discover what you carry, nothing can intimidate you any longer. And that's why when David got to that place, David said, "For where? Who is this? Who is this uncircumcised? Who is this person that does not even carry the spirit of God and is talking to the people of God like this? Me that I carry the anointing of God." His brother said, "Shut up." He said, "Shut up for where? If you can do something about it, why haven't you done something about it for 40 days?" But David knew what he carried. Just like that scripture, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Please, if you have not marked that place in your Bible, go and mark it down right now. Go and mark it down. Go and write it down. That scripture is about you. It's not just about Jesus. It is about you. The spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you. And when he has anointed you, you function at the level of the extraordinary. David received the anointing. And as soon as he saw Goliath, he was not intimidated like everybody else. Everybody were running away. They were hiding. David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Today, I will feed your heads to the birds of the air." Wow! That is a man that knows the essence of the spirit of God that he carries. That is a man that knows the significance of the spirit of God that he carries and the anointing that is upon his life. I hope and I pray somebody watching this right now will begin to understand the spirit of God that they carry and the anointing of God that they carry so that they can command situations and circumstances intimidating them. No wonder the Bible says that you shall decree a thing and it shall be established and the light shall shine upon your ways. He's talking about you decreeing it as a result of the spirit of God in you, as a result of the anointing that you carry. And when you know that anointing, you command things. So one thing that I see in this scripture, Luke chapter 4 verse 18, is that God has anointed you to do something. Because Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to." He has anointed me to. He has anointed me to. There's something God has anointed you to. There is something God has anointed you to do. And when you are in that place, functioning in the realm of the anointing of God on your life, nothing can intimidate you. Back to that story of David. David was anointed a deliverer, a leader of the people. That was why when he saw somebody else intimidating the people of God, he could not stand it. And immediately that activated the anointing of God upon his life. See, anything that is intimidating you, anything that is angering you, anything that is annoying you, anything that is affecting your walk with God, that thing is actually activate the anointing of God upon your life. You will tell them to go away. You will tell them to move into the sea, and they shall move into the sea. That's what the Bible says. There is something you have been anointed to do. You must find that thing. Because until you find that thing, the anointing of God on your life will be useless. Let me say that again. There is something you have been anointed to do. You must find that thing. Until you find it, the anointing on your life will be useless. Many people are using the anointing of God and wasting it. They are not even using it. They are wasting away. The anointing of God in their life is wasting away because they are yet to find the anointing of God, what the anointing of God, you know, is put on their lives for. You must find what you have been anointed to do. The moment Jesus read this scripture, something happened. The Bible says, later down in the scripture, that the whole eyes was fast, you know, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fasting on him. Everyone knew that somebody, the person that read this scripture is not ordinary. Everyone knew. The Bible says, let me read it for you. Luke chapter 4 verse 20. It says, then he rolled up the scroll. In other words, he closed his Bible, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Then the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fasting on him. Listen to me. The day you find what you have been anointed to do, the day you find why the Spirit of God has been placed upon your life, the whole earth, their eyes will be fastened on you. You will come out of obscurity to lamplight. You will begin to do amazing things for God. You will begin to add to the kingdom of God on a daily basis. The anointing of God in your life is not for decoration. It is for work. Let me repeat that. The anointing of God on your life is not for decoration. It is for work. It is for exploits. And the Bible says, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Allow me to rephrase it like this. Those who know what they carry, those who know that they carry God, those who know that they carry the Spirit of God, those who know that they carry the anointing of God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. The reason why many people are not doing exploits today is because they have no idea what they carry. Many Christians are alive, but they are not living life. Many people are alive and they are not better than someone dead because they are not using the anointing of God on their life. Again, that Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Listen to me. That scripture was written concerning you. There is the Spirit of God upon you and there is something he has anointed you to do. And listen to me. You must find what he has anointed you to do. Until you find what you have been anointed to do, your anointing will turn to annoyance. And that's why many people are living like a nuisance. Many people are living life a nuisance because they have not found what they've been anointed to do. Don't let your anointing turn to annoyance. Number two thing I see in that scripture, that Luke chapter 4, it says, he has sent me to. He has sent me to. There are people God has sent you to. And you must find those people. I'm going to repeat that because I feel someone did not get it. There are people God has sent you to, and you must find those people. If you go to the wrong people, they will beat you up. Like they beat Paul up. You know, every time Paul goes to the Jews, they beat him up because he was not sent to the Jews. He was sent to the Gentiles. And until you find who you have been sent to, you will be living a frustrated life. Jesus said it in that Luke chapter 4 verse 18. It's not my word, it's the scriptures. He says, he has sent me to. In other words, there are people God has sent you to. There's someone God has sent you to. You must find what you have been anointed to do. Number two, you must find who you have been anointed, you know, for. People you have been sent to. If you don't find those people, you will discover that every effort in ministry will become frustration that can lead to depression. And that's why many people feel like they are just being used and abused and reduced and oppressed and repressed. And they will keep on living in obscurity. There are people God has sent you to. And you must find those people. And I love the rest of that scripture, which is a thought thing that I found in that scripture. It says, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. There is an assignment for your life. The anointing on your life is for the assignment on your life. Let me say that again. The anointing of God on your life is for the assignment on your life. You must find what you've been anointed to do and begin to do that assignment. And you will be amazed at how effective you will become. See, many people are not effective because they are doing the wrong things. Or they are distracted by the wrong things. Or they don't know who they are sent to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Friday, God bless you, sir. The anointing has a target. Find your target. Thank you, sir. The anointing of God on your life has a target. Find your target. And you cannot hit a target you cannot see. So tell God to open your eyes to what God has anointed you to do, to the people he has anointed you to go to. Until you find those people, you will discover that you are just living in frustration. And many people just keep living life and struggling. See, the purpose, the anointing of God in your life is not meant to stress you. Let me repeat that. The anointing of God in your life is not meant to stress you. It's not meant to kill you. Because the moment you plug yourself into what God has ordained for you to do, it's like a square peg in a square hole or a round peg in a round hole. You fit. You just fit. Many people don't fit today because they still have not found what they've been anointed to do. They've not found who they've been sent to. They've not precisely seen what they are supposed to do. They've not seen their assignment. Three things we saw in that scripture. And I pray by the grace of God, as you begin to walk on these three things, your life will never remain the same. In the mighty name of Jesus. See, Jesus was quite clear about his assignment in that Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And that's why when you look at Acts chapter 10 verse 18, it says, after Jesus was anointed, he went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because Jesus understood the anointing on his life. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. It says, after Jesus anointed, after the Holy Ghost anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Trace it back to Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The same thing. The anointing is for something. You've been anointed to do something. There's something you've been anointed to do. And when you get into that thing, you function at the level of the extraordinary. You function at the level of the impossible. That thing that people say it's impossible, that's the level where you'll be functioning. You know, just like the book I'm writing right now, saying you too can work miracles. When you begin to function in the place of your anointing, it will look like you're working miracles. In fact, you will work miracles. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't shoot aimlessly. It's a waste of valuable ammunition when you are just shooting aimlessly. Thank you, Reverend Friday. You know, you must find what you have been anointed to do. Find your target and you will discover how smooth your life will become. Many people are going to school today just studying anything anyhow, following their friends, following what society says. You go and do nothing because everybody is doing nothing. You have not really found out what you have been anointed to do. You just choose a career. You do anything anyhow because you have not been found. You've not found what you have been anointed to do. My boss was telling me about a student lately, you know, who decided to sign up for a course, and because of course the student had been with us for a while. We know the student. We sort of know the potential of the student. You know, sort of know the capacity of the student. And we asked him, that student, hey, why did you sign up for this course? And guess his reply. He says, because all my friends are doing it. Many people are like that. You are wasting the anointing of God on your life because you are being a copycat. You are copying other people. You are doing what other people are doing. You are doing what society says you should do. Hey, that is very, very dangerous. That's why many people are living a depressing life. And many people at the end of the day will just be so depressed they commit suicide. Because life is just like a roller coaster. They're making so much motion without progress. They are busy but not effective. They are doing everything. But that single thing that they've been anointed to do, don't be one of them. Find what you have been anointed to do. Find what you have been anointed to do. Connect with God so that you can do exploits, so that you can be strong. I love that scripture. Those who know their God shall be strong and do exploit. You can only be strong when you are functioning in the place where you're meant to function. If you're not functioning in the place where you're meant to function, you will not be strong. You will be depressed. You'll be oppressed. You'll be stressed. And I pray that for someone watching this right now, you will not be stressed in the mighty name of Jesus. There's something noticeably different about you. You know, those who knew your parents would not believe. Those who know you will not even believe sometimes. But there is something about you that is special. And those who know your story will no longer understand you when you find what you have been anointed to do. It will look like your anointing will shock the world. Let me say that again. Your anointing is meant to impact generations. Even beyond you. Even beyond you. And I pray as you find that thing, you will no longer be in obscurity. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please, I beg you, go and find what you have been anointed to do. And with that, I've come to the end of today's message. And I want to pray for somebody right now. If you're here, you're watching me, or you're listening live on radio, and you are wondering, what is this thing, Samuel, you are talking about? It makes sense, but at the same time, it doesn't make sense. It's because you do not know God yet. It's because you have not identified with Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploit. If you don't know God, then you cannot be strong. You will not do exploit. If you don't know God, then you have not been anointed. If you don't have the Spirit of God upon you, if you have not accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, then listen to me. The Spirit of God is not upon you. You cannot do anything extraordinary. You cannot do anything that is beyond the natural. And if you're that person, you are honest and you're saying, Samuel, pray for me. I want to accept Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. I want my life to change forever. I want to be able to do that which I've been anointed to do. I want the Spirit of God to come upon me. I want to pray with you. If you're there and you're honest and you're saying that right now, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I come to you today. Be my Lord and my Savior. I accept you into my life. Forgive my sins. Heal my land. Make me brand new. Let your Spirit come upon me. Let your anointing find me. Let me begin to find those that you have sent me to. And let my path begin to shine brighter, even brighter, onto a brighter day. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, listen to me. You've just gotten born again. You've just accepted Jesus into your life. I will enjoin you to actually, you know, connect with me. Reach out to me. Send me a message on Facebook. Send me a message on my website. Go on to samuelekundayo.com right now and send me a message. And I'll be more than happy to hear from you. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. I'll be more than happy to share with you more about your faith and how you can move forward into what God has anointed and called you to do. And I believe very strongly that you're about to move out of obscurity into lamplight forever, and your life will never remain the same in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And if you're there, of course, you're listening to this, you're a Christian, you're a child of God, because it is possible to be a child of God and still live an unfulfilled life. Let me say that again. It is possible to be born again, to be saved, and still live an unfulfilled life. And if you're that person, you've not found what you've been anointed to do. You've just been living life anyhow. You know, you're not hitting the target like Reverend Friday, you know, told us. You've not been hitting the target. You've been wasting the valuable ammunitions in your life. Listen to me. I want to pray with you. You know, Father, Lord, I pray for that person watching this right now, they've not found what they've been anointed to do. They are perhaps even confused because there's a range of things, you know, in their lives that they are confused about. Doing everything but not effective. Busy but not effective. You know, making motion but not making progress. Father, Lord, I pray that your spirit would begin to open their eyes to begin to see precisely what they've been anointed to do in the mighty name of Jesus, so that they begin to function in the place of their purpose, begin to function in the place of their calling, just like you, Lord, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, they will be doing what they've been born to do, created to do, anointed to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And as they continue and as they begin to do that, you begin to bring nations to the brightness of the horizon in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Listen, if you join this message perhaps too late, you need to go back and watch it. It will change your life forever. And if you're still watching, do me a favor. Share this message with someone right now, because their lives will never remain the same again. Somebody watching this right now, if you're a child of God, one of the best places to begin to function in the place of your anointing is in the church of God. So if you're going to church now, make sure you go and plug into the place where you've been, you know, to that place you've been anointed to do, and begin to do that thing on a regular. Begin to get busy. Begin to do that thing, and you discover that God will continue to empower you more for your generation and even generations to come. And if you're not going to church, find a Bible-believing church. Plug yourself into service. There's greatness in service. There's greatness in service. There's greatness in humility. If you're not doing anything in the house of God, God has no business protecting you because you only protect your valuable assets. You only protect things that are working for you. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I'll see you again next week by the grace of God. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Brother Samuel, for such a wonderful message. And we believe that people's lives are not going to be the same.
Amen.
You have been anointed to do something. The purpose of the anointing is to do something.
Yes, sir.
Don't be anointed, just stay home and do nothing.
Waste of anointing.
So I believe that your life has been transformed. Let's listen to a quick music break, and I'll come back again into the studio and have a conversation with you. God has been very good to all of us, and I believe he's going to be good to you.
Amen. Amen.
All clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto God with a voice of triumph. For our God is God over all nations. He ruleth in the affairs of men, and he's worthy of all our praises. Hallelujah.
control. Ninja baby, no ma fa. Abba, no man coming up. Nessus and no be the man. On a noble mature young, on your mina, no the men up. On the men up, no the men up. Abra Besson, a soon you let you man. I'm your name, Dabinda. Say, why am I on this show? Say, me ring, come here, me require me, rebay. Hey, Janami, no, come on. Ring, Janin, in the water. Janin, in the water.
Radio Kwa 104.6 FM is another wonderful Tuesday again. And of course, my wonderful guest in the studio here with me. And I believe that you are going to have such a wonderful discussion. That was the Ghana national anthem. So today, those of you might not know, today is 6th March in Ghana, and Ghana is celebrating 61st anniversary. So Ghana is 61 years, and we are here to discuss how far we've been. But before we go ahead, I got some discussion that I want to have a quickly talk about before we go ahead with the conversation. So once you join us on Facebook, please feel free to join the conversation and also to share the video. Invite your friends. So thanks for joining us, Chapman, for joining us on Facebook. And once you join us on Facebook, you just invite your friends to join the conversation. And also, once you join us, share the video among your friends. So a quick announcement. The Ghana Association of New Zealand, in collaboration with the former Lighthouse Chapel International, I think... Master Seed. So on Sunday, coming Sunday, which is the 11th of March, Master Seed International. So Master Seed International is used to be the Lighthouse Chapel International. We are coming to Ghana, and Master Seed are coming together to celebrate its independence. So please, the details are as follows. On Sunday, 11th of March, 2018, the venue is going to be 20 Tipai Place, Henderson, Auckland. 20 Tipai Place, Henderson, Auckland. And the time is 6 p.m. Come, let's celebrate the faithfulness of God. Thanks. Let's celebrate how far the Lord has brought us as a people. And we are here to celebrate also our uniqueness, our identity as individuals and as a community as well. So the Ghana Association of New Zealand, we are inviting the African community or the whole of New Zealand, Aucklanders, to come and join us on at 20 Tipai Place to celebrate our independence. So that's going to be a wonderful opportunity to come together and to discuss our conversation, whatever is happening in our community. So before we go ahead, we know those of us in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand, you know it's Census Day today. So today is Census Day. And it's Census Day, and I believe that we have got something that we need to be able to have a look at. There were some questions that were coming out from the census. The way the questions were framed, the format, the arrangement, and everything, people were complaining about it. And when I was listening to News Talk ZB this morning, and I heard people complaining, and I believe as well that let's clarify. And I think Ima has got questions. And for me, unfortunately, unless Ima mentioned something to me, and I was like, oh, I think maybe I didn't understand the whole thing properly. So I'm going to go quickly to the studio, and I'm going to go to Ima, and I'm going to go to Ima. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go. Okay, Ima.
Yes.
Have you done your census?
Oh, yes. I did mine on Sunday.
Sunday,
around 4 p.m. I got my kids to read the questions for me. So as they read, we answered them together.
So, how did you find the questions? Because,
Yes, I think the questions, of course, whoever designed it has a reason why they designed the questions the way they did it. And so they are trying to get some information from the population to have an idea of how people are. And so the questions are aimed for specific, there are specific objectives for those questions that we are answering. Of course, the other thing is quite a lot of questions. And so you're expecting that if you have a family of four, so if, for example, like myself, me, my wife, and two kids, it meant I had to complete four of those forms, and I have to complete one for the household in which we live. And so that's I think about it. And the other part is there are a lot of questions that you have to answer, which probably may take a bit of your time. And so you're looking at about 20 minutes per person. If you have kids less than 18 years, I think it's quite shorter. And so you probably will spend around 10 to 15 minutes on that. So you may spend a bit of time to complete it, but it's worth it. It's worth every time we spend on doing it. And I think what we talked about earlier was around the question of ethnicity, in terms of what ethnicity you identify with. And on that form, you find that they are given some options that you, and on those options, you don't see African, Black African, Ghanaian, or whatever. But down there, you see what they call the other. Now, if you click the other, it gives you options to write your ethnicity. And I humbly suggest that for us Ghanaians, we write Ghanaian as our ethnicity. What that gives us is we'll be able to know then how many of us identify as Ghanaians living in New Zealand. And it's good for us to know the numbers that live here, where we are, what we do, and all of that. But if you also write African, it's also very okay, because then it gets counted as African. The only difference is that if you write African, then we don't know which African or what type of African you are. And so that's a bit of the issue around that. So for us Ghanaians, I will suggest that we write Ghanaian instead of writing African. And that will add up to the numbers of African, because they have, they are different layers. And so if you look at it, if you look at how census data is collected or how ethnicity data is collected in the hospital or any other place, there's one that gives a very broad description of who you are, and that's category 4. So if you write Ghanaian, it gets added up into the number of Africans living in New Zealand. But if you write African, it goes, it adds up to African, but it doesn't give us the detail of the kind of ethnicity you belong to. And that's also the, that's also some of the issues around this census. But I think we are not here to talk about ethnicity. We are talking about census today. And we are only trying to encourage people as much as possible to go out there and get counted.
Yeah, so what about, so just, also what about, some were saying that, one, they got the, what about those who got the, because how it's designed is that, you get a letter, it gives you an, a code. I think it's a 9 alphanumeric code or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, once you get a code, you enter the code in a website, and then you continue. But some people were saying they got the code, but they don't even have computers. How do they go about? If you've got a code, you don't have a computer, how do you fill the form?
I think that's one of the challenges, and that's why sometimes you expect that some of the minority communities will speak up during such times. But most of us are very quiet. You don't talk about these things. What we know is that in for many census, you find that people who belong to the minority communities are less counted. And this is the evidence shows that. If you look at 2013, the census in New Zealand 2013, they did what we call the post-enumeration survey. Now, this is done to find out the numbers of people who have been missed or if they've been overcounted. Overcounting is if I get counted more than once or you get counted more than once. Undercounting is when we go out there and we miss out people because we could not reach out to them. What they found was that in the post-enumeration survey, you find that people who belong to Maori ethnicity, for example, were more likely to be undercounted. They were more likely to be missed. Now, what they did, and the data is not available, so I don't know whether they included Africans or Ghanaians in that post-enumeration survey. But what we can say is that most of these people were missed even in the paper-based system. How much more in the electronic system? And what we know, again, is that if you looked at the questions you answered, you find that one will ask you if you have internet at home, if you have communication at home.
Yeah.
Now, there are 9 questions. These questions is what we use to assess what we call the deprivation index. So it tells us how many people live in a smaller area that are deprived. So that's the deprivation index. What we know from 2013 is that most of these smaller communities are more likely to live in areas that are deprived. And so you're looking at people who are more likely not to have computers, not to have internet access at home, to be able to complete the form. And so right from the get-go, these people are more likely to be missed and not counted. Now, the good thing is, I listened to the program, the census program manager today on News Talk ZB as well, and she said that they will roll out after the online version. They will come back, they will send out the code again, and they are more likely to come out and do the paper form again. And so that should tell us that probably there's still hope for people to get counted. I think the challenge we have is not that people don't want to get counted. The challenge is people don't see the reason why. And I've done a short interview. I've talked to some of my colleagues who are students here. And I've had people, because you read some of my posts on platform.
Yeah.
I've had people come back on the back page to ask me, should I do this? Because I thought this was meant for citizens and residents.
Yeah.
So there's a misconception. The misconception is, I don't belong here. I'm here for a short stay. Why should I complete it? And that goes down to sometimes, I don't want to be negative, but sometimes how we treat some of these things as Africans. Individual success is not and must not be equated to collective good. And that's our challenge. We sometimes feel we are okay, so we don't think about the collective. And that has been our problem. We live in a country where the black population is, if you look at 2013 census, and if you look at 2006 census, you find that the African population grew by two times. And so it's fast growing. But we don't have the details. We don't have it. And so we need to encourage more people to be counted. And we are seeing that people come here who don't have... My English is not great because I'm Ghanaian, I'm not a New Zealander. But the others who may speak worse than I may do.
Mm.
And so these are families that have challenges in raising up kids here. But we don't know the numbers. How do we go out there and support them? But for some of us, we think we are comfortable. And so for me, if I'm okay, why should I worry about the other person? And that's what we need to begin to really change and talk about. And I want to see more leadership in there. I don't know what the churches have done about this. That's something we need to take up and begin to address it. Because we're going to live here. We're having kids here. The kids are growing up. Our kids need scholarships to school. They are being denied because we are not seen as a priority ethnicity or ethnic group in the country. And those are things we need to look at. And of course, if we continue to look at ourselves in the individual manner, which is me and my family, we are okay, so why bother? Then we continue to dwell where we are. And so I think we just want to encourage as many people as possible. It's tonight, 12 a.m., census night. For it ends at 12 a.m., but it will be extended beyond that. If you have not done it, spend a bit of time. 20 minutes is good enough. You can finish it up. Just get it done.
Okay. Yeah, and so okay, so what about those who are saying that we talk about, some say that they are they don't have the documentation. What about those who are saying maybe they are, say, illegal immigrants? And do they have to, because some of them might be concerned that, I don't want the government to know where I am because maybe I've got expired document and all those kind of stuff. What do you say to people like that?
The government cannot know if you are illegal. Because in completing the form, you don't state anywhere your visa status. They don't ask it. It's not part. You see, what they are doing is, and Yanko, if you go back to saying most of us are Christians, right? These things have been done ages and ages ago. It's been done everywhere, even in Ghana. When we do on the census night, we count everybody living in that country at that particular time. It's not about visa. If you live, for example, if you live in my house, okay, and you get yourself counted and say that I live here, the government will never know whether you have visa or you don't have visa. It's not part of the requirement.
It's just a matter of...
Somebody was asking me today, would they not, the government, share the immigration, share
the... The thing is, on completing the form,
yeah,
there's no question about your visa status. They don't ask you. It's so, not, of course, it's not, when I completed mine, it's not, they don't ask anywhere your visa. What they're asking about is, have you lived here in that house? Have you been in that house for over, what period have you been there? Is it less than a year or more than a year? If it's less than a year, where were you before this time? Were you overseas or were you somewhere in New Zealand? Give the address. That's what they're asking for. They don't ask you whether you have visa or not. And so the government cannot know whether you are illegal or you are legal. There's no way on that form, and so they cannot share anything to any immigration to know whether you are illegal or you are legal. That is not part of what the government is trying to do, is, and that's why they call it census night. So whatever they are going to count is going to be counted against the 6th of March. So on the 6th of March, these are recorded in the usual resident, which is people who normally will live in New Zealand throughout the year. So it's an estimate based on a real calculation that has been done. And so please, for those of us who think, and I know, because as I said, I have most of my friends here. We have a WhatsApp group of Ghanaian students in New Zealand. I've tried to convince as many of them. I've been to some of them, even convincing them to take their laptops to complete it. And people still feel that it's a lot of work. They don't want to do it. It takes a lot of time. And so please, we really need to do this.
So some will say benefit. So why do I have to, you know, you're talking about time, effort, and all those things. What is the benefit for us as Africans? What is the benefit in trying to want to get our people to do it? What is the benefit? Why do you have to bother?
The benefit is, if we know your number, then we can begin to talk to you. We can begin to see that this is a unique group of people. These are the challenges they are facing. Now, some of the questions they ask you, do you have mold in your house? Again, remember, they're asking you how many people live in that house. So they are getting to know, are there issues of overcrowding? They get to know how much you are earning. Now, these are issues that tells the government in terms of what are the challenges that are facing this group of people. Now, if your numbers are getting up and there are issues that need to be addressed, then we can go to the government and request for what is rightly ours. Again, you see, Kwajo, as we live here, we pay taxes. Whether you're black, white, green, yellow, you pay taxes. So why would some group of people benefit, but others do not. Mm. Just because our numbers are not that many. Mm-hmm. And our numbers are many. It's just because we are not, it's so much about, is it apathy?
Mm.
When we feel that we don't belong, we are not part, so why do we have to worry? But we need to begin to make a statement.
Mm. Yeah, and also on Sunday, I met Frank, the president of Ghana Association of New Zealand. And some time ago, we used to have key classes for the kids, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to teach them. And that program was sponsored by the New Zealand government. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the New Zealand government give the association a sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the association used that money to employ a Ghanaian, two people, mm-hmm. who every Sunday, 2 hours, they've hired a room, they've got all the resources, TVs and everything, to teach the kids how to speak our language, like mm-hmm. basic words, engage mm-hmm. conversation, watch mm-hmm. some Ghana key and all those kind of things, to be able to help, you know, the African community. Mm-hmm. So what? Does this also impact the government decision in terms of knowing how many African kids? Or
absolutely. What the government has to do is to show that I'm spending money. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm spending the money. Yeah. And this is the expected outcome.
Yeah.
How do you expect me to come and spend money on you?
Maybe I don't know.
When I don't know how many you are.
Yeah.
And even if I know how many you are too few. And imagine the 2013 census said there were only 200 Ghanaians in New Zealand. It's something I've always I don't believe it.
Yeah.
They were only, because I've seen people come to Ghana first January party.
Yeah.
In one party, in one hall, we are almost about 100.
Yeah.
And you tell me across New Zealand there are 200 of us. That cannot be true. Yeah. And it's just because we are not getting ourselves counted.
Yes, yeah.
And so, and that's the problem we have. Sometimes we sit back and we go and blame people.
Mm.
But we are contributing to it.
Yeah.
And you expect that we come out there, talk about it, and get people motivated to do it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I saw a data this morning and I was saying, counties, Manukau area. So normally when they do the census, because you know the population, the kind of population that actually live in that area, most people don't do the form. So they have to come to the hospital and try to get the hospital to enroll everybody today. So everybody, if you're in the hospital, you have to be counted.
Mm.
So what they were doing, and I saw there was a data which said that counties area, Manukau area, were underfunded by $50 million because the government used the census data to do the allocate money
for
each area.
Absolutely.
So it says that. So if there are 500,000 people live in South Auckland, and then you only half of you enroll in or register for the census, what is going to happen is that the government only give you money for 250,000 people instead of 500,000 people. So meaning,
the government deals with numbers.
Yeah,
the government, and that's why every year they come and say this is our budget. A budget is just a plan, a financial plan, saying this is how much I think I can get, this is how much I think I want to spend.
Mm.
And so whatever they are going to spend is based on the numbers.
Mm.
And so if you say there are many people in counties, show me the numbers. Where are they?
If
I don't see the numbers, you can't convince me in any way.
Yeah,
and that's how policies are made.
And I brought the document. To write your name and sign it.
You didn't do it.
You want to come with a verbal, or we are too many.
We are too many.
What's the proof?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
So what would they consider? You know, for us, I mean, in saying that, and Africans are very not. As our lifestyle is not, we are not very formal in terms of our lifestyle.
Mm.
Like you go to visit somebody, just walk in. Mm. It's not because it's different, but that's how we live our life.
Mm.
We are very different. So could it also contribute to the apathy among Africans that I can't be bothered in the census? Because we are too informal in the way we do things.
It could be, but probably not because it's informal or formal. I think it's just because of our mistrust of public services.
Mm.
We come from a background where we don't trust services because we think that they will not deliver. We can't also ask them questions. A doctor is a doctor. A teacher is a teacher. A lawyer knows best. Why do I go and confront them?
Mm.
And so why do I have to trust the government system?
Even sometimes, even if you try to confront them, they got angry. Why are you asking me this question?
Absolutely.
You know who I am or what
absolutely.
I am.
So, but we come with that kind of frame, which tells us that, yes, it's somebody's work. Let them do it.
Mm.
That's not sure. Why should I be bothered? But the point here is, one, we are coming from a very deprived continent, whatever, however you want to put it.
Mm.
We are very vulnerable. Not all of us. A good proportion of us are coming from backgrounds that are challenged in terms of language.
Mm.
They are challenged in terms of the challenges they've been through before getting here.
Mm.
And so we need to rally around to support ourselves and to get ourselves out of the challenges we are faced with.
Yeah.
And for me, my concern is not just about even the adult who is out there busy working.
the kids that we are raising them up in this country. Mm. You see, until we begin to look at and begin to advocate for more, we will continually, and for some of us, you don't feel it. But let's think beyond ourselves. Let's think about the generation that's coming up here.
They
are growing up here.
Yeah.
They are growing up, they see colleagues, they have friends in school, and there are no opportunities that are here. But if you continue to live in a place where you're not recognized, your community is not recognized, because we feel, oh, these people, are they here? Oh, they are not here. Who are they? What are their numbers? Because they don't really know us. And I don't know to what extent we are being engaged as a community in terms of government action, government policy, and all of that. And there should be a time where we can begin to make and know our numbers and begin to demand, even political, whatever. But until we get to do this, and that's what I've been watching TV. The Asians are very loud out there, encouraging their people to get counted.
Even in the Indian community.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. But surprisingly, I'm yet to see any African leader, any African group actively campaigning, help getting people out there to get counted. And it's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate. But I know that for most of us, we thrive on our numbers. If you are going to look at funding, it's on numbers. And that's why you keep saying that our funding is dwindling, it's going down. And it will go down because they feel that we are just taking the money and there are no people out there.
Yeah.
And so why should they give you that money? And I think it's something that we should be passionate about.
Something
we all need to be passionate about.
Absolutely. Something that we all need to be passionate about. And I think in saying this, talking about funding, it's very important for us as a people, because we all have children. And the children have, like Imas rightly said, we all pay our tax. We all contribute our fair share of the in whatever happens in that nation. But you notice that some people have got more benefit compared to others. Example, like, you know, when we mentioned this, if you go to the Auckland University, if you're entering the medical school, there's a quota specifically for Pacific Islanders. There's a quota for Maoris. But there's no quota for Africans. There are some specific scholarships that are available to specific group of people, because the government has counted the numbers and they know that this group of people are not actually making it to the university or are struggling to make it to the university. So let's help them. But if we don't put our numbers together, if we don't come together and say, okay, this is our number, this are the number of youth we got here, this is the number of children that we have got, these are the number of people that, these are the numbers who are actually making it to the university, those are, because of what, for whatever reason. So if the government says, let me help this group of people, then they know specifically who they are going to target. And I think that's very important that we are having this. So Akofi, I think you should have led this campaign, but unfortunately we couldn't find him. The New Zealand African Welfare Trust.
Maybe led by, maybe we couldn't see him.
Okay, and also the New Zealand African Welfare Trust, also the same problem. And all the African communities, I think we haven't heard and seen any campaign from your side getting our people. The churches, you know, that's where people actually group. You know, I was very surprised, because in the hospital this morning, they were taking, you know, laptops everywhere, you know, and making sure that people are being, you know, registered, because what is going to happen, once you get the numbers in, you're going to get the money that you need, you're going to get the attention that you need, you know. And I think Africans, I think we are not helping ourselves by putting this in Ghana, lackadaisical attitude toward everything that we do. So yeah, so that's very important. So that is on the census. Okay, so now the next topic is we are talking about insecurity. We are talking about insecurity in our nation. I think I will start from Kwesi. So you can't insecurity in Ghana. So there are problems. All of a sudden, all this January was not included, because I was in Ghana January and first week of February. I didn't see anything. All of a sudden, from middle of February till now, every day we hear armed robbery. We hear Yatibiana, Amroba Biako, Homophobia, Yakubo B2, and all these kind of things happening. Kwasi, why all of a sudden there is this issue about armed robbery? And it just see and there, maybe I'm for Bia armed robbery. Just say, and I'll be sure go for him.
Atifo, you know, I finish up. Say Ghana, 61 years. I know. New Zealand,
I said,
enye ne so no na ya na uti kra na ya na reho bi si political party be she chire na ho ho mi no bi anya dwene sa 1979 say that na eleman the time aye eleman free akonwa so a e be di on pan jeje ro ni so a wi ye wi fo be bu Ghana be bia say e be ye say obi a o nya wi kra no ain se fish aba obi o ni o nya fish aba kra no ko fo na o ti me den o ti bi sabi.
Yeah.
So no, confirm Mr. Rollins didn't see for ma or wipe you when you have video. You couldn't be dead. I'm saying we could do somewhere in 1994. They call no. It sounds sorry, kakra. So no. Ena, so I'm saying could force me take you over no. Kakra, kakra, kakra. On some money then a call from. So, until no idea call night and not by idea call na abba. So now this time no. Population is what Dawson. And I, you know, what can do? So, on a human, you know, no, and so that doesn't mean say no more opportunities that will be on the seven ones who struggle to say one. No, cook, nere, no, but you know, where would you and the cry day? If it is, in fact, arrow. Arrow, and the home by bonnet, dear, a yakese. Don't know. Men first of all must be a police von Guan because of his police von Yuma, you may know, Niade. Yes, of course, by in Ghana, be an Yuma. Yenina first person because the police for your name, you now. My jab to more yamun, you might you may more more jay bribe or quine home. Copy me recently, I'm civil midman, measure the back of Ghana website. Such as a police for the day, Kitwa. Headmaster J. Head teacher J. Son, you go anyway. Son, to corruption, oh baby, I never pass security, in fact. Especially beer will be imperfect, no chance away there, war, none the market and get it. Nibia yam yam tmi amon ho ban Ghana no wanna be a business ka be 10,000 kuta no didi gaga kra kra no gaga kra e fe position fo no akwuji se ni pa we say enkwai den efrinin se the margins are jitten so be atua e to be 100 Ghana cities ma Ghana government every year na sa oji eni pa be 10 enkwai from nsem a
eh
big loose
yeah
ma the whole nation
yeah
so no e bia won count ni sa I feel den kwada na wo je wo wi azin so won be bed no. So now when they were that you abra babede, baby, nobody compare. Oh, South Africa here. Oh, kwa South Africa, what now? Kwa Gaudi, senga yeketwa. Oh, we see kwa tuna Nigeria, kwa Gaudi yeketwa. Yeah, Ghana for. So no, so if you say Ghana, dear no, I hear you complain. If you say yeketwa, we are Ghana ni because trans South Africa here. So no, ain't you know? I'm say, ye ni na ye moye humo dene. Ye ni na ye here changes. Yeah, yeah, because you didn't quite as much money anybo. You didn't quite as much money. Ache, so no.
Yeah, yeah.
The future that made the maker say, yeah, me and famu ubia because ubia say, but time say was it 6 years. We say dimum, but e kwa ubia zuna we say, ye timi ni yade ni esisa. So, tisa na maker.
Okay, yeah. Ima, insecurity in Ghana.
Say, I say, no one, Freddie Church me, and they said that I mean, it's Areho. Now, Uti, free fiends were essentially as if him, Sabia. Be our sorry, Connor Jumasona, Uti will fear no biddy to a bidding also. No, Jew, Sikano, San Jonka. But there you are, Ghana, and I said, DBS here, not done any. Say, better not say, I shall say, not can I say, dear Tim.
Nobody was a party.
We lose focus and try to blame other people. Like, we tend to collide. In politics, the Kofa Hopen so the Anas Assembly say, I said, how the media is taking these things up. Sometimes we hear caption be a headline. You say it said men can any abusian for yao, but should they see the say Obuasi there? And the way it was captioned, you say I'm robbery in Obuasi. I'm robbery. But my men are pon jo mo ko fi no bi atwe se kan si ni so agye ne bag ko jo ne am robbery. Oh do baby as the way we are living in town and I'm say
what about car
am am for suit dinner. There's so much sensationalism in the way we behave. And the baby as say the asem no say be si aka na ho ho na draw picture na ma na ye no e no hia e che asem ba no. Oh ndi disebia ne ma ekoso Ghana ye hu. But the real fi say we are say it no.
a competition. Ghana. Say, I hope we're back Ghana. Ebe di 1 week in pa. Obe di di. Obe no minsu. Obe da. Obe jare. Obe shatare. Obe to bag. Obe to chocolate. Obe shakunu krum. Emo isika. But ya no huze di enye biya anu ten biya kweze. Mina midike hu ye na maka. Ndiye ti ye krum. Ene ye challenge ye hu. And we are not looking at the bigger picture out there. But Unim said, now these days people want to go to Rwanda. Why? Because, oh, the place is so neat.
Yes.
The place is so peaceful. It's so safe. But what picture are we creating to the world out there?
Yeah. And I think one of the reports I saw, I think one of them in the north, a report about NDC organizer, some I'm Robert. I think Enra Baku Bishop about City FM, NPP, youth group arrested for armed robbery. Yes, the point is, an armed robbery is an armed robbery. As soon as you involve these two political parties, you catch unnecessary attention. The whole message disappears
ruling party member. There's no way so no best and I'm robber say Kunuku be a brand new crown in this carrier day, Ikutano. Recently I'm sure Bacon. I'm so Chipapan crumble craftinism. Discussing me of your 1.2 million. To be said, political party best and you say Kunuku be 1.2 million. So I say, young fair, you know, I'm rather reality so. So no, I don't know. I yes, you bamboni will be the other edition in them. So I say, young one, I said, come to work.
Judge, you know, describe him. No, so me am robber. I said, no, you're not robber. You're a crumb
for. That pattern that I share with them, I think the media, we are not at a crisis point. You know, baby, of course,
but you know, crisis now.
But you can say, you know, you're a bum for the age, but the point is that, so how can I call baby, say, Kwasan is so my canon. What did I say? Oh, can put the public away. Because already, you know, I'm saying this because see, a business I run you, Oman Biano, Upiska. This is a bush out to fee, Upiska, Mubedidi, Mubenum, Ubeja, Betia Bell, Betia electricity, water, and Yan, Uyeska, Oman Yeska. Quamben your fashion Yeska organ, your tongue cuckoo, your tongue, a beer gold. But tourism, one way, I pass a faso, it in Yesika. How do you attract people when your country is not secured? How do you attract business when people know, say, you are baby ebano, a home you're safe? And yes, a home you're safe, how is safe? But the way I see canon, there might be a while show for you. I say, I'm a can't see your boise. On a normal day, Kajetia is a busy wall. And no quack, Dano quack, as I know, Biajo be bagged, Nico. Yaw take the same thing, Uba Kruma, Langalanga, Sikai, Yachina, the bones, Echi, Fafumbra, and the boss, and Yajufu. And no, I said, I don't know, I'm robber. Oh, young canny, you know, said, yeah, come
on, any of the Captain's Rover, and I said,
I'm not coming in.
Massive Rover,
only coming in. Oh, yeah, but I say, a media for Nuba Bia, we are too sensational. As I'm the bar, near Kennedy, so much emotions. Dia ya kuma to nche ne de adwen ene ye bia ye adwen uza de na ye ye no de wo muni ne hu sire ti ka no
okay
so wait ya sem si ne kata so ye kama won timpo ni page na ohuru si da bia omu wu ba ta ka won isu da ana ye ka won isu ne my boy should know how to say it
okay before you go into what Otabe said into Otabe
Ghanaian radio match I will listen maybe for 15 minutes and shut off because it's very depressing. It will contaminate your soul. I don't watch Ghanaian TV much. I watch a little 1, 2, 3. I say, oh, nothing has changed. Go back. I'll watch animals. I'll watch cheetah. I'll watch lion. I'll watch antelope. Oh, yeah. I'll watch antelope anytime. I'll watch cheetahs anytime. I'll watch giraffes anytime. Because at least they will tell me how to hunt, how to get your goal, how to avoid being eaten. I will learn that from the antelope. At least I'll come back inspired to say nobody will eat me. But you watch Ghanaian radio, TV, and you wonder, are we still here? The mediocrity, the excellence that we used to have has all gone down. Instead of raising this bar higher, we've lowered it and lowered it, and every time we lower it, lower and lower and lower and lower. And we have huge problems. I don't mind if Americans don't talk about serious things. They have solved part of their problems. I don't mind if Germans decide to joke with their destiny and the British decide to joke. But we have no choice. What kind of joke? Because we are in a mess. In a huge mess. Recently, some governmental leader of another nation described us in very unpalatable terms. Very annoying terms.
Okay, so I think the lines are not going, but I don't know what's happening. But the lines are open, but I think there are no phone calls coming through. So I'm not seeing any phone calls coming through to the studio. But